Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Growing concerns over the mysterious drone sightings this past month across New Jersey. The Pentagon refuting claims by a New Jersey congressman that the drones were being launched from Iran. And White House National Security Advisor John Kirby at today's briefing on what their investigation shows so far.
The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels.
Sources familiar with the matter tell ABC News the U.S. says it's made contact with the American man Travis Timmerman found in Syria after the fall of the Assad regime. Video circulating today shows a man sitting and without shoes. He was detained after crossing into Syria earlier this year while on a Christian pilgrimage. President-elect Trump's incoming chief of staff confirming to Fox News he has invited China's President Xi to attend his inauguration. The president-elect also named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear a case that originated in western Wisconsin. With more, here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
It all started when the Eau Claire Area School District updated their policy to say that if a child wants to be addressed by a different name or pronoun, staff would respect that and would not have to notify parents without the student's consent. Advocates for LGBTQIA youth say that can protect queer kids whose families may not understand them. But a group of parents represented by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty sued the school district. They claim the policy usurps their rights as parents. Luke Berg, representing the families who filed that lawsuit.
This can do harm to children, and in our view, that's why parents need to be involved.
Meanwhile, Haley Archer, attorney for the Wisconsin ACLU, says it's not a black and white issue.
I believe one of the reasons that this question is debated is because it is complex. We're balancing the rights of parents, we're balancing the rights of schools, we're balancing the rights of students, and ultimately, the safety of the student is, in my opinion, the most important of these rights.
The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health reports nearly half of LGBTQIA youth in the state seriously consider suicide. Nationally, those rates drop significantly for trans and non-binary kids who feel accepted at home, according to the Trevor Project. Now, this lawsuit had been dismissed twice before. Judges said while the parents are genuinely concerned, the policy has not impacted them or their kids, so the suit had no standing. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty tried again. They asked the U.S. Supreme Court to take the case. The nation's highest court only accepts less than 1% of the cases that are referred to it. And as it turns out, this is the rule, not the exception. The U.S. Supreme Court announced that it had rejected the parents' appeal, meaning they would not hear the case and the rulings from the lower courts stand. So there's really nowhere else for the case to go. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks head to Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks found out last night they'll face the Atlanta Hawks in the semifinals Saturday of the NBA Cup in Las Vegas. Tip-off time 3:30. Atlanta beat the Knicks in New York 108-100 to qualify. College hoops, the Badgers on the road against the Butler Bulldogs in Indianapolis. Game time Saturday at 1:30. Last night in Green Bay, the Milwaukee Panthers beat the UW Green Bay Phoenix 88-67. The Phoenix now 2-9 under Doug Gottlieb. NFL, Packers defensive back Jair Alexander back and expected to play after missing the past month with a knee injury. The Packers in Seattle Sunday night. Luke Musgrave returned to practice. Jordan Love on seeing the tight end finally doing some drills after ankle surgery in early October.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see Luke. He was out there in pads and whatnot doing some individual stuff today. So, you know, had a tough injury. Didn't know when he was going to be back. And it's awesome to have a guy like that back out there.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It may look pretty outside, but it does not feel like it. With high temperatures today trying to tap 10 degrees, those feisty winds are really making it feel more like 5 to 15 below. Overnight lows bottom out near zero, and for tomorrow, slightly warmer, rising to near 20. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 3 degrees at our studios.
It's the center of the kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olesen is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanella says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s. And it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday Eve, as I like to say. We are almost there, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Thursday, and that means I am joined by a most excellent guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics. Welcome back to The Maggie Dawn Show, Tom. Can you turn Tom on for me, Cardi?
Yes, one second.
Here we go. We'll try one more time.
Tom, you're on.
Welcome back.
Hey, Maggie. How you doing?
I'm doing just peachy keen. How are your holiday preparations going, my friend?
They are actually going well. We've already went to see some Christmas lights. We, we went down to Candy Cane Lane, which I think is something that everybody who lives in Milwaukee should do. Got the Christmas decorations up and not enjoying today's cold, though.
No, it is quite the cold snap. I hope everybody out there is staying warm. We have one of our very regular callers on the air already, and she has something quick that she wants to say before she has kids to get on the bus. So, of course, Cindy from Appleton, it's always great to see you, my caller. Kia, what did you have to say? And say hello to Tom, please.
Thanks, Maggie. Hi, Tom. Well, I am just really upset because I heard that Time Magazine has made the convicted rapist, the convicted felon, the man of the year this year, and I hope a lot of people dump their subscriptions to Time. Shame on them.
Cindy, I wish I could say that I planned your phone call, but I did not. Tom and I, in fact, are going to be talking about that very thing today amongst some of the other breaking news. I just before we get to that, Tom, I just want to tease out because I've been talking about it a bunch and I wanted to get your impressions on it. We have CNN running in the studio and right now the Chyron is talking about how people that are so frustrated with our health industry have been calling Mr. Luigi Mangione, the man who allegedly and based on the evidence as reported in the media to date, seems clearly to have been the man who murdered the United Healthcare CEO last week in New York City. People are calling him a hero. Tom, I wanted to get your reactions to this before we move on to the Time Magazine issue and cover. I've come out very clearly and said this man is not a hero. We do not do vigilantism. And what does this mean if the most privileged among us start taking up arms and blowing people away? I mean, this kid had everything. He had access. He had privilege. He had wealth. He was extremely highly educated. What's your take on this situation?
Well, in addition to those things, he had debilitating pain.
Yes.
And I think one of the challenges we have in this country when it comes to healthcare is there just doesn't seem to be anybody responsible to help people when they have debilitating pain. And I will agree with you, he's not a hero, but clearly he's touched a nerve.
Yes.
And I think the nerve, at least for me, is, you know, because I'm part of I get my health insurance through the ACA. Being an independent contractor, I'm basically at the mercy of whether we can afford enough to be able to pay for coverage, which frankly is not very good coverage with very high deductibles.
Yes.
And, you know, luckily I'm in a position where I can pay that, but I know there's a lot of people that aren't. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger issue here is coverage.
Yes.
It's what is covered and what's not covered. And I know, even though I pay the insurance company, they don't work for me.
Mm.
And I think that's an important distinction for people to understand is even though you pay your premiums, the insurance company does not work for you. They work for themselves and they work for the profit that they make. Some are, you know, I know that a lot of healthcare businesses right now under the guise of nonprofit insurance companies are there to make money and they do it very well. And they also know that if they deny coverage, they make more money.
Yeah, which is, it's sort of similar to me, like to nonprofit hospitals. I mean, give me a break. They're still making money.
A lot of money.
A lot of money and paying really huge salaries. The very idea, and not all health insurance companies are nonprofit either, you know. So the very idea that for-profit enterprises are operating and make or break whether or not someone can access healthcare to me is, I mean, crazy. I mean, that's just, it makes no sense. Like, of course it's not working well for people because that's a stupid premise to set up a healthcare delivery system in, quote, the world's richest country, right? It just, it doesn't work for me. I've also always thought it was stupid to tie your healthcare coverage to who your employer is. Like that,
yes.
To your very point, Tom, you go through the ACA because you have to. This is not a good way to do this.
Right. And I will also say that the reason we're able to get into the ACA is because they had to drop the, you know, pre-existing condition clause that allowed insurance companies to deny people even coverage. So now they have to cover it. It doesn't have to be affordable, but at least I can get coverage. If that's dropped by the ACA, though, I will tell you right now, and my wife and I have had this discussion, I'll have to go find a job because that's the only way that I can get health insurance then, which doesn't make any sense to me. And if you think about all the entrepreneurs out there, if they have to go back and get jobs because they can't get coverage, what does that mean for business growth in our society? And what does it mean for our economy moving forward? But I will also say that, you know, the healthcare industry itself there's collusion.
Yes.
There's no price transparency. Yeah. There's none of the idea that this is a, you know, privatized marketplace that allows you to go and seek competition. There isn't competition.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, all of the factors that an economist would point to.
Yes.
For, you know, monopsony, like oligopoly, all these fancy words that economists use that basically means that customers aren't going to be served well and are ripe for exploitation. It is all true in the healthcare industry. I mean, why is it that an MRI at one joint will cost $500 and it's $2,500, you know, at a different joint five blocks down the road? Like, that is insanity. And the price fixing and the fact that you don't know how anything costs and every single one of us needs healthcare at some point in time is just
yes.
Bananas to me. So, you know, the only silver lining between from this horrific act of violence, which I condemn, we don't make the world better through violence, is that perhaps it will catalyze a conversation and is catalyzing a conversation has been needed. We've needed to have a deeper conversation about this for years. And it just brings me back to Donald Trump, right? which is during the debate, what are you going to do about healthcare? I have concepts of a plan.
Concepts of a plan.
In his interview with Kristen Welker, I have concepts of a plan. We'll talk.
He didn't even say that. He said, if we have a better plan.
Yeah, we'll talk to some people.
He actually said the word if. If we can come up with a better plan, then we will move to that.
So all of this brings me to Time Magazine putting Donald Trump on the cover, this announced yesterday, as the person of the year. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Your thoughts and comments. Welcome. I'm joined as a co-host today by Tom Paulswitz, a two-time congressional candidate, friend of mine, and a friend of yours. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I just wanted to make this clear in response to Cindy's call at the top of the hour. Time Magazine does not pick people of the year based on their goodness.
Yes.
They base their person of the year basically on impact and like newsmaking.
Newsworthiness.
Yes. And if Kamala Harris would have won the presidential election, she would be the person of the year. But she didn't. And Donald Trump was at the center of almost every single news cycle. I mean, the CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
Yes. And, you know, this is the part about Donald Trump that, you know, like him or hate him, he seems to be able to garner clicks, which means that reporters and people who write stories and people that get stuff on the internet, if they put Trump in the story, they know people are going to click on it because they either love him or hate him. And that is part of the cycle, I think, that at least from 2016 to 2020, that damaged this country. And we're heading right back there, which means to me that I don't think journalists have learned their lesson. I don't think that the way we've set up, or the way we absorb news and the way we digest information has changed. In fact, it's changed for the worse.
Yes, it's worse, I would say.
Which means that I think the idea that Kellyanne Conway said about alternative facts is going to pretty much be what the next 4 years are about.
To me, this is all kind of where we've crossed over this threshold into not only like moral relativism and ethical relativism, but also there's no observable objective facts, and you can just say anything and you say it as many times as you need to until your group believes you and thinks the other people are lying. And this it's not helpful for folks that voted for Trump. It's not helpful for Kamala Harris supporters. It's not helpful for anything to be in a place where we literally cannot have conversations anymore because there's no agreed upon framework to have a conversation or a disagreement.
Exactly. It's actually driving us apart, and it's all based on perceived ideology. But like you said, when you're operating off two different sets of facts, there's no common ground. And I've been thinking about this a lot, and I'm not sure what has to change. The Rupert Murdoch struggle with his family about what's going to happen to Fox News. There's a glimmer of hope there, which means maybe they don't just spread disinformation on a regular basis. I don't have a lot of hope of that, but I think something has to change.
Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate, one of the most reasonable men in politics. We're going to come right back. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to talk about whether or not Donald Trump will actually deliver for his voters once he's sworn into office on January 20th. Your calls and comments and texts are welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is Civic Media, where we're all about real news and great conversation. Join us more in just a moment.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy, and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
What's up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you know that we're in the midst of Civic Media's grown-up giftless text-to-win sweepstakes contest? In the 4 o'clock hour, my little buddy Dom Salvio will be getting on the air. He's going to drop a keyword on you. You're going to want to text that keyword via the Civic Media app, and that's going to qualify you to win either $100 or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah, not so bad. Nice. Cash. Very nice. in the holiday season, not so bad. Nor is a little getaway. So be sure that you got the app ready and keep it locked here on Civic Media. That text will also register you to win one of 8 grand prizes, a grab bag, if you will, from our grown-up gift list, including things like an espresso machine, luggage, a humidifier, and a couple of robot vacuums, all to make your life easier and or more fun. So please do participate and check it out. We drop those keywords in the 7 o'clock hour, the 7 a.m. hour, 11 a.m. hour, 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. every day. Want to get some text messages in. Sue from Franklin also saying time chooses the person based on basically newsmaking. Len from Madison, personally, I don't have a problem with Mr. Mangione killing this guy because eliminating people that enrich themselves from the pain and suffering of others needs to be looked at. I hear you, but disagree. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, maybe the guy had a Bruce Wayne complex chasing villains. Mark from Prairie du Sac also points out that wasn't Hitler person of the year back in the 30s. I actually think that may be true. I haven't had time to fact check that, but there have been. I remember growing up, Tom, there were
some very interesting
dictators, right? And
I think the Ayatollah Khomeini
was 1 year. And what was the dictator from? He was from an African country. He had the hat. I can't remember the guy's name. This is my...
Yes, there have been, they're agnostic.
They're agnostic as to good or bad or indifferent. It's just news making.
It's just news, yes.
And Andrew from Maine also pointing out, often the person of the year is the president-elect in an election year. Yep. And folks, let's see here. Andrew from Maine also saying facts exist. Campaigns, especially GOP campaigns, have realized that the generic voter doesn't actually care about facts. Certainly yes. not enough to verify. Matt from Middleton. Hey, Maggie, how about we follow economist Victor Fuchs, who wrote in the 70s that if we didn't adopt a single-payer universal health care system, we as a country would always have growing debt. It's an economic and financial issue as well. Could yes, not.
Or Theodore Roosevelt or FDR or Dwight Eisenhower.
I mean, a Delano Democrat, if you will. Yes. I think that's what we all are. Thank you, Tom, from West Dallas. He's reminding me that the African dictator with the hat that I was trying to remember was none other than Idi Amin. Yes,
Idi Amin. Yes.
I do believe that he was also potentially a Time Person of the Year. Here's what we wanted to get to, everybody. Tom and I... We often just send generic thoughts to each other the day before the show because there's so much going on. Is Donald Trump actually going to deliver real and measurable results? So let's assume that facts matter and that there are facts. Let's assume that we can measure things. Let's assume that people in good faith voted for Donald Trump because they want some of their economic anxiety relieved. How do we know if Trump's delivering? Is he actually going to deliver? And I wanted to start with this fact. Okay, reporting yesterday has made it clear that Elon Musk's total net worth has nearly doubled since Donald Trump's election. He is the first human being to break the net worth barrier of $400 billion.
With a B,
billion. Yes. And I wanted to give everybody an actual idea of how much $400 billion is. Please listen to what I am going to tell you right now. If you spent $10 million a day.
A day.
Every day for 100 years, you will not have spent even $400 billion. You will still have just under $150 million left to spend. I'm going to say this again. Elon Musk's net worth is $444 billion. Here's how much that is. If you spent $10 million a day, every single day for 100 years, you will not have even gotten into the $400 billion mark. So trying to explain things like in this context, Tom, I think is so important. When I say we need to take money out of politics, but it's because it's perfectly corrupting, this is what I mean. Like, what's $42 billion to Elon Musk? Not much. Like, he is reportedly spent $250 million on the campaign.
$250 million.
Excuse me, $250 million, $250 million.
$250 million.
Well, that's let's do the math again. $10 million a day. That's just under a month for him. Like, if you could, you know, buy all of the communications or the most important communication outlet for 4 days worth of work, and you could basically buy the presidency and the U.S. government for a month's worth of your work and bend them to your will.
Yes.
Wouldn't you do like that? Sounds like a.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, I would invest it. I would invest $250 million if I knew it was going to get me $200 billion in return.
That's really ROI.
That's a great ROI. I would do that every single time. Let's put that number into one more perspective. Please. I read recently that cancer patients, all cancer patients in the United States over, I think it was the year 2022, they had to pay a little over $16 billion in deductibles.
Wow. Wow. Folks, we're going to come right back. We're going to talk about, is Donald Trump actually going to work for you? Or does Elon Musk own him? Does his billionaire boys club cabinet own him? Is that who he's really working for? I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. It's all real news and great conversation next.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's a sign of the times. The official Christmas tree has arrived at the state capitol. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. And believe me, there were plenty of applicants. Details on the way.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Darren Smith is in charge of selecting the evergreen that will be featured at the state capitol. He's in charge of the building grounds at the state capitol and has been selecting the tree since 2017. He says it takes a team of more than 50 people to make it all happen between harvesting, hauling, and decorating the tree. This year, the tree was donated by Rick and Bev Burke from the Rhinelander area. Second year in a row that the Burks have donated their tree. And Smith says that tree, well, it's always got to be a balsam.
The weight of a balsam is much lighter than, say, a spruce, and it's also much more flexible, and it allows us to get a larger tree in the rotunda, and everybody likes to see a lot of height. And one of the challenges with that is the balsams in Wisconsin, they don't grow down in the lower half of the state. Unless it was specifically planted in some very unique soil conditions, they are almost impossible to find south of Highway 8. So almost all of our trees always come from north of Highway 8.
The voice of Darren Scott. He's in charge of the building grounds at the state capitol. He said he's already receiving calls and emails from people offering trees for 2025.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service has wrapped up their crop progress reporting for the year. If you think it was wet, you're right. Their numbers show precipitation across the state more than 26 inches deep from April to September. That compares to a normal of a little over 23 inches. June was the wettest month with more than 7 inches of rain. September the driest with just a little over an inch. That's Food News. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It may look pretty outside, but it does not feel like it. With high temperatures today trying to tap 10 degrees, those feisty winds are really making it feel more like 5 to 15 below. Overnight lows bottom out near zero, and for tomorrow, slightly warmer, rising to near 20. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 3 degrees at our studios.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like
it's only glass.
It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we make our popcorn pick of the week with morning show host and former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. And Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show, who has likely seen Jim's pick.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
What's up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got my special guest host in the chairs with me. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He's a two-time congressional candidate and a small business owner. We're talking about whether or not Donald Trump will actually help the middle class. I think that's the bottom line question.
Mm-hmm. That is the question.
Is he actually going to help working people? And to what degree, right? Because one of the things about campaigning is basically he promised everything, like everything's going to be fixed and world peace and
day one. Yes.
So even setting aside some of that extremist rhetoric, let me just start with this question. And then I'd like to dig in a little bit to all the conservatives out there, especially some of our regular callers. What do you think the odds are that Donald Trump actually makes things better for the middle class? And odds make off of the fact that he handed a completely broken economy over to Joe Biden. Odds make off the fact that there will be more billionaires in his cabinet than in any presidential administration by, like, I don't know, tenfold or something like that. I mean, it's just not even measurable. Odds make, based on the fact that Elon Musk has gotten more wealthier in the last 30 days than he did in his entire lifetime before that, and now has enough money to spend $10 million a day, every day, for 100 years and still not spend all of his money. Like, what do you think the odds are that Trump is going to be responsive to the needs of the middle class? What are you looking for, Tom, in terms of like indicators, in terms of how are you going to measure that? What should we all be looking at?
Yeah, I think for me, it starts with inflation. You know, the CPI report came out yesterday, shows inflation it ticked up a little bit, but the one underlying component that the economists have been waiting to see if it was going to start going down is rental expenses and housing expenses, and it's finally coming back down. You know, if you follow economics at all, you know that inflation peaked and has been drifting down for the last at least year and a half, close to 2 years. Though recently, the most recent inflation survey that came out, people expect inflation to increase, but it was really an interesting survey because college-educated people expected inflation to increase, and people without a college degree expected inflation to decrease, and that was based on Trump's promises. Now, that it's not physically possible that inflation is going to go down by anything that the president's going to do at this point. The only thing that the president has the ability to do is raise inflation. So to me, that's the one thing I'm watching, because after knocking on so many doors in the fall, the economy was the number one thing. People were just upset that prices were so high, and you know, they're in for a tough shock because prices aren't going to come down the same way, especially if he institutes the tariffs the way he wants to.
Yeah, I have such a sense of unease going into this administration, because he will enjoy at the front end some of the buoying factor from Biden's good economic policies, right?
Yes.
And I call today a saying occurred to me that pocketbook economics, that kitchen table economics, always trail sort of national or corporate economics by a goodly margin, and that the impact of economic policies takes even longer. So I'd say like kitchen table economics probably trail by at least a 12 to 18 month lag than the overall sort of national economy and corporate economics, and that the national economy and corporate economics are often trailing a year plus, sometimes even more, depending on how the Fed manages the interest rates, even more what presidential economic policies are. And so you have to think of this in like dominoes. So let's put this together for people, Tom. Presidential policies change. That's going to take minimum a year to show up in the macro national economic trajectory. and the performance of businesses and corporations. And that's then going to take another clip of time, say another year at the minimum, to sort of show up in people's pocketbooks and their kitchen table economics. The thing that I'm really uneasy about is that I think American taxpayers and the middle class are going to be somewhat buoyed by Joe Biden's economic policies for at least a couple of years. And they may
easily. Yeah.
They may be inclined to falsely attribute that to Donald Trump, which is not, it's parallel a bit to what happened when he took over from President Obama.
Yeah. And two things. One is President Obama and President Biden will never get credit for avoiding depressions. Yeah. Which they both did.
They both did.
Right. They did it in different ways. President Obama gave money directly to businesses to prop them up to make sure they didn't fail, which was the too big to fail policy.
Yep.
And then President Biden and the Democrats pushed to put money in people's pocketbooks and gave money to a whole bunch of small businesses to make sure they could keep people on the payroll, even though they weren't producing revenue at the time. Right. So two different strategies.
Huge.
They both worked. They both didn't create high unemployment. They both didn't throw people out of their homes. You know, I would say that the Biden philosophy worked a lot better because it got money into the hands of people directly.
Yes.
Where, you know, saving the businesses still caused a huge housing blip, which we're just coming out of right now. But I think the bigger thing is we're going to see another bubble.
Yeah.
So Trump's coming in. He's going to create another bubble that's going to create some excesses that's going to cause businesses that we think are too big to fail to fail at some point.
Yeah.
And the government's going to have to come in and bail it out after doing tax cuts and after exploding the deficit. And my concern is, where's that money going to come from?
Right. Well, and I think Republicans are now saying it very clearly almost daily on the friendly outlets, which is Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Right.
That's where that's when we reach the pain point of pain points, that's where the cutting's going to be.
Yes.
And again, that's what's really concerning to me, that people cannot put cause and effect together very well. Let's go to the text lines just for a few comments, if you will. Tom, Angie from Monroe saying, I hope America is still here by the time Trump is done. I'm going to recast that a little bit, Angie. I'm going to say this. I hope the middle class is still here by the time Donald Trump is done. And I want to emphasize that really specifically. The middle class, not the working poor, the middle class. I hope the middle class is still here by the time Trump is done. Because the Republican insistence that presidents are kings, money is speech, and corporations are people has led us to one of the most corrupt systems that still appears, by all accounts, to have a functioning electoral process, right? We have a functioning electoral process.
Yes.
That's not the problem. But the democratic outcomes, small d, aren't happening. And small d democracy means that you're doing the things that benefit the greatest number of people most of the time. We're not seeing that. If you've got a guy that can spend $10 million a day, every day for 100 years and not spend all of his money, and money is speech, guess what? We're all screwed. I'm just saying. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, I'm not advocating for anything here. Murder is wrong. But given the proliferation of firearms in our country, all of these captains of industry probably don't feel too safe. No kidding. Andrew from Maine. Elon Musk's, quote, value is a system of the challenges of capitalism. Has Musk's increase in wealth over the last month in the marketplace had any measurable contribution to society? And no, nothing's materially gotten better over the last month. Len from Madison, the best indication of what someone is going to do in the future is based on what they have done in the past. And in the past, Donald Trump gave more tax cuts to billionaires and 100 millionaires and large corporations by exponential degrees than he ever gave to any of us working suckers. Come on now. Andy from Wausau said Obama gave pallets of money to Iran. No, he didn't. That's weird. I mean, if you want to make a critique, you can critique Joe Biden for effectively letting Iran access billions of dollars, but we're getting off into
forum. And Maggie, this is one of the more interesting things that I see happening right now is Tesla stock is going through the roof.
Yeah.
Yet this administration is going to end the credits, end the federal tax credits for electric vehicles, and they're going to be pushing more pumping of oil, which is exact odds of what Tesla's all about. And when you think about Tesla, their actual sales have been dropping rapidly because people look at Elon Musk and go, I don't want to be associated with that company. So,
Elon Musk's, a lot of his wealth increase is actually coming from SpaceX right now, right? And like the anticipated value of SpaceX, the guy's got $15.5 billion in federal contracts, yet he's going to be responsible for government efficiency. I mean, that's the most basic definition of a conflict of interest that I've ever heard.
Right. But we're pretending that there are no conflicts of interest, and we're pretending that people are just going to do the right thing for the rest of us. That's what's really happening, which is making Jeff Bezos very nervous because he's not on the inside right now. Right. And he would like some of those government contracts because as a billionaire, it's easier to get a government contract than you and I.
Of course it is. I mean, yeah. Andy from Wausau, he's ticked off and he's, you guys are horribly at fault. Put that together for me, Andy, and forget past for a moment. Let's just talk about going forward. Andy from Wausau, do you agree that money in politics is corrupting, right? That Elon Musk shouldn't be able to spend $250 million to buy the American, basically the whole of American government? I mean,
to buy a seat at the table. It's basically what he did.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of money and I want to be involved. I'm not getting elected. I'm not running for office, but I'm giving you a bunch of money and therefore you should listen to me.
I firmly
believe though, Maggie, and I don't know what you think about this, but I firmly believe that two people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump cannot stay in the same sphere for too long. I think there'll be a tremendous falling out at some point. And it'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Oh, you mean when the two massive egos and billionaires come to loggerheads over something?
Yes,
you mean,
it will not last.
That's one to watch. I got a question. Jim from Appleton said, hey, does your calculation of Musk's wealth take into effect just interest on his wealth? No, it's as if he would never earn another penny for the rest of his life. He's got $444 billion. If he never made a penny in a savings account or an interest-bearing savings account or checking account for the rest of his life, he still could spend $10 million a day for 100 years every day and still have nearly $1.5 billion left. Excuse me.
And early in his career.
$150 billion left. It's
right.
Insane.
Early in his career, that completely hinged on the fact of him getting a bailout loan from the U.S. government in order to keep Tesla going.
You know, the next time the U.S. government bails out industries or businesses, do you think we might ask for some equity?
Maggie, I ran on that. I don't think we should be giving grants. I don't think we should be doing a lot of things when it comes to business. We should be taking an equity position. We should be
like
the
investor.
Biggest venture capital in the entire world. And we do a lot better.
Yeah,
we
want to talk about deficit management. There you go.
Exactly.
Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz. He's a two-time congressional candidate and a small business owner. I'm Maggie Dawn. Your thoughts and disagreements. You too, Andy from Wausau, are always welcome here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. We're going to talk about what the heck went on with Christopher Wray, and why did Christopher Wray take the route he did when so many other people are saying, bring it on, Donald Trump. We discuss next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matinee on Air.
More tax cuts for billionaires and 100 millionaires. What are we to do? Oppose that at every step of the way. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I got a special guest co-host with me every Thursday. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He's a two-time congressional candidate. Before we get into Chris Ray announcing his resignation, you wanted to talk about the Bucks in the Emirates Cup. Give us your take, Tom. I can't hear
Tom. Very excited. Yeah. Very excited about the Bucks. I think, you know, they started the season 2-8. Since then, they've gone 11-3. And I think they were written off for almost dead at one point, but now they're coming back. But having Chris Middleton back and watching him play, I think that, you know, they're going to play in this this made up NBA Cup thing, which is supposed to generate some enthusiasm. But really, it gets It gets the players to Vegas. But the interesting thing is the winning team, they each get $500,000. And for a guy like Giannis, $500,000 is like, okay, that'll help pay you know, maybe a quarterly tax bill if I'm lucky. But I think for a lot of the younger guys on the team, it's a significant amount. And when you talk to these players and you hear what they have to say, they're really playing for those other people on their team.
Yeah,
because this is a very unique thing that allows them, because they're actually playing for one of the newest members. They want him to buy a house. Aww. And he's going to use the money to buy a house, which, you know, OK,
we're talking about, you know, it that sounds like profit sharing. Gee whiz. I wish we had more of that everywhere.
Right.
You know, we all eat together. That's a good thing.
But, you know, the distinction in the NBA is there's some very rich people, and then there's a whole bunch of players.
And there's the workhorses.
Right, who are getting by, and it's a lot like society, but they're all in it together. All on one team.
Yes, there is a greater element of team. You know, it's true in the NFL. It's also true in Major League Baseball. I got to tell you, the Juan Soto deal, first of all, so glad Chris Middleton is back. Huge.
Yes.
I mean, Chris is the guy. It never works as well if he is not on
He's
the
a great
court.
Player.
He really is.
He's got great vision.
He's one of those guys. He's smart up and down the court, offense, defense, just a great player. But I do have to mention, because I'm such a baseball nut, the Juan Soto deal is just like, what? And the Mets. Okay. I mean, the Mets have tried this before, and it hasn't worked. $766 million, folks. If you aren't a big sports fan, the biggest contract in baseball. I think he just beats Shohei Ohtani. Is $766 million to Juan Soto. He's leaving the Yankees, going to the Mets. They beat the Yankees' offer by like $6 million. I was like, really? For the $5 or $6 million, you're going to basically give up a guaranteed World Series to join the Mets. Right. All right, man. Cool.
Do what you got to do. But I think the other thing is they're going to pay him. They're going to pay him over, what, $70 million when he's 41 years old. For one season.
Yeah.
And these guys, you know, after the absence of steroids now, is these guys are showing that they're back to declining in skills in their late 30s.
I was just going to say, not only the declination of skills, but the injury levels are up across the board. Before we run
they're still paying Bobby Bonilla. Don't they pay him like $1 million a year? So, yeah. They're the Mets, though. You got to love them.
Yeah. Gluttons, if you will. And, of course, my best of luck to Willie Adames as he shuffles off to San Francisco. Yeah. I'm curious as to how that's going to all pan out. Wanted to get your take on Chris Ray's announcement of his resignation. I also think this is a galactic mistake. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because we're hearing from Kinsinger, Jack Smith, Liz Cheney, Dan Goldman, who is one of the impeachment prosecutors, their response is, do not give me a pardon, Joe Biden. I don't want that. Bring it on, Donald Trump. I just think, like, Chris Ray, I want to keep the FBI out of the fray. It's like those attacks are going to come whether you're the director or not. And stay the freaking course, man. Make him fire you. What's your take? Was that a mistake or the right thing to do, Tom?
I think it's the right thing to do. And here's my reasoning why is he is protecting his team. He's hoping that it allows his team to stay in place because they don't have to defend him then. All they have to do is defend the FBI.
But and the attacks are going to happen anyways, aren't they?
Oh, sure. But there's not this disguise of, you know, I only did it because of the previous FBI director type thing. I understand.
But don't you make that a possibility? And here's my sort of baseline point, and we'll have some time a little bit later to get back to this question. When you sign up to do those top leadership posts, it's going to come with heat and it's going to come with a lot of attacks. It just does.
But he's going to be fired, right? And there's going, whether there's going to be a hearing or not or whatever, right? He's just saying, look, let's not delay the inevitable, but let me make sure that the people I have in place don't have to cover for me. They just have
just
to work
tell
for the
them
FBI.
That. I want to talk to you
right,
more
but
about
it's almost
this,
impossible.
And we'll get back to it.
You know, when you have people who are loyal,
it's not going to make any difference that he's gone.
Oh,
I don't think
it's going to make any difference either, but I can understand the logic. I can understand the
reasoning. I think it's bad logic.
I don't think so, because there's more than enough battles that are going to happen. It doesn't have to be personality battles. It's already for the heart and soul of the FBI. That's the battle.
Clearly, but I don't think losing your fearless leader helps morale or helps the institution. We'll debate this more. We're going to turn to the local after the top of the hour. Recently, a discrimination complaint filed in Menominee Falls. We're going to talk to the parent who filed one of the complaints. You're going to want to keep it locked. Turning local after top of the hour. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network News, Weather, and Sports Updates next.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We will be live in Seattle, Washington for a special preview of the Packers taking on the Seahawks. Trigvi Olsen joins me live, as well as our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted.
A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President-elect Trump rang the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange today and was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. And the president-elect also looking ahead to his inauguration.
The incoming White House press secretary confirms the invitation was given to Xi Jinping as an example of President-elect Trump reaching out to America's adversaries and competitors in addition to its allies. There's no indication yet that Xi has agreed to come, and analysts who study China say they don't expect he will. But if he does, it would be a historic move. The State Department has no record of any foreign head of state attending the inauguration of an American president, at least not since 1874.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Lawmakers asking for more transparency in the investigation of the recent drone sightings in New Jersey. White House National Security Advisor John Kirby says there's no foreign country involved yet and no public safety risk. And crews in California getting a break a bit from those Santa Ana winds as they battle a wildfire in Malibu. This is ABC News.
Your news.